All right, here we are on a Wednesday morning, and I want to wish a belated happy National Friendship Day to Deb Johnson from St. Clair County Community Mental Health. Good morning, Deb.
Good morning, Paul. Thanks, and happy Friendship Day to you, too. We've known each other a long time.
We have indeed, and friendship is certainly important in the world of mental health, isn't it?
It really is. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, we talk about often is that it's harder for people with especially severe mental illness to form and maintain friendships. Yeah. And if you are a friend with somebody who has a mental health condition, hopefully you stay friends with them, but that you help them that you learn more about their condition, because a lot of times people stay away because of the stigma associated with it, or they're just not sure what to say, when to say it, you know, how to engage with their friend. So mostly it's things like, you know, continue to do the things that you always did, you know, keep asking your friend to do things. Don't push them though. You know, if they say they don't want to, but don't give up, you know, keep asking. Oftentimes people don't especially newly diagnosed mental health conditions, don't like to be in large social gatherings, things like that. They seem to be more comfortable in smaller social networks and things like that. So the biggest message there is to continue to be friends to your friends, whoever they are, mm-hmm. no matter what their issue. Because whether, you know, we've talked about this before, like how much people support people when you get diagnosed with a physical health condition, you need to be that same level of supportiveness when somebody has a mental health condition. Because, you know, just like I know I've said this a million times, you can't help if you get diagnosed with cancer. You also can't control if you get diagnosed with schizophrenia or bipolar disorder or those kinds of things. So it's real important to, you know, be a good friend, be supportive, be compassionate. You know, for all of us, whether or not we have mental health issues, good friends are good for our health. They help us, you know, we celebrate good times with friends. Friends can help us, like I just mentioned, provide support during the bad times. Friends tend to help us increase our sense of belonging and purpose and our purpose in the world, I guess. They help boost our happiness. They can reduce stress, things like that.
It's interesting that National Friendship Day also falls on International Forgiveness Day. Those two kind of go hand in hand sometimes, don't they?
I know. I thought that was interesting, too. And it is funny because, you know, sometimes you have a really good friend. They do something and that maybe really hurts you a lot. And you're like, oh, you don't want to forgive them. But you need to think about that. Or maybe you're the one that did something really bad. We need to learn to forgive ourselves too. You know, it's kind of helpful for us to remember that mistakes, failures, and even doing really stupid things are part of being human. It's how we grow. It's how we learn. And if we're never embarrassed or wrong, and we never make a mistake, we're probably staying in a pretty narrow comfort zone. And so we need to remember that about our friends too. So, you know, we all make mistakes. We're all human. So we need to learn to forgive our friends, forgive ourselves, try to understand why people sometimes do the things they do. It helps when they say they're sorry. even if they don't, you can still forgive somebody and just try to move on from that situation. You know, I think I just said this when I was talking to somebody, but I remember a long time ago for a situation that I had going on in my life, and one of our medical directors back in the day, Dr. Austin Katz, I don't know if you remember that name, but he was a great guy, mm-hmm. Great psychiatrist, but he said, you know, one of the things people need to learn is to let go of the anger. You have to let go of the anger or it eats you alive. So somebody's hurt you badly, you're angry, and if you don't let go of that, it you know, kind of controls your life, and it's not healthy at all. So I remember him telling me that, and it's great advice.
Yeah, absolutely. A couple other things going on this month. Summer Sun Safety Month is month of August. It seems to fit, especially this morning, as we got a beautiful sunny day out there. But you got to be careful out there in the sun.
You do. But, you know, we've talked a lot about how important it is to, like, get out outdoors right now, because I think last month we talked about people don't get outside enough.
Yeah.
And so you really need to get outside. And the sunshine is so good for us, but we just need to, you know, take the proper precautions, you know, wearing sunscreen or, you know, they have the clothing now that has the SPF protection with it that still lets it breathe and things like that. A lot of times I see golfers wearing the full long sleeves. I'm kind of bad. I wear sleeveless, but I do wear sunscreen. And so that's important, you know, to do that. But really take this time, you know, I can't believe we're already in August. It feels like time has just flown by again this summer. And we've had a beautiful month, beautiful weather. But, you know, try to at least take some precautions like that, but continue to get outside because it's so good for your mental and your physical health.
Absolutely. And one other thing to point out, that August 1st was World Lung Cancer Day.
Yeah, and that one, that, you know, they say that lung cancer claims more lives annually than breast cancer, colon cancer, prostate cancer combined, which kind of surprises me. But I guess it's in terms of cancer deaths, not the number of people that have it, because, you know, we've talked a lot about the facts of some of those other cancers, and they're pretty prevalent. But it just really is important if you smoke, quit. And there's a lot of, actually through Community Mental Health, we have a lot of smoking cessation programs, and we really try to encourage people to quit smoking, because for many years, way years back, people were given cigarettes as reinforcement for good behavior and things like that. And whether it was psychiatric hospitals, things like that. I mean, I'm talking a million years ago, but not a million, but a long time ago.
Yeah.
But a lot of people with mental health issues, the percentage of people with mental health issues that smoke is much greater than those that don't have mental health issues. So that's something we've really been working on and trying to address with the folks that we serve. And we've been really successful. A lot of people have quit smoking through our smoking cessation groups. There's a lot of support that's available for that. So we just encourage people to try. It is a very, very hard thing to do, but we encourage people to give it a try.
I know that it feels like our calendars have not really seen a lot of activity in 2020, but you do have some dates coming up that are worth mentioning.
Yes. I just, you know, we started the Blue Water Race series this year, and unfortunately COVID-19 has really put a damper into the series. We'll try it again. Hopefully next year COVID won't still be with us, but who knows. But at any rate, all of our runs so far have been virtual. You know, we started with the Leprechaun Loop, which nobody knew was going to be virtual. So we had, I think, almost 450 people signed up. That was through the YMCA, but that went virtual because it was that week that everything shut down. And then that was followed by a run, the Artful Dodger in St. Clair in June, and then the Pickerel Run down in Algonac in July. And the next run in the series is P.S. You're My Hero, which is September 20th. Mara McCallum is the one that started, you know, that run. And so that's September 20th. That will be virtual too, I assume. We switched our run from May to October, October 3rd, actually, to kick off Mental Illness Awareness Week. And we were hoping so much that when we switched it, that it would be in person. But as of now, it is going to be virtual. If that changes, of course, we'll let people know and we'll, you know, we'll promote it at least some levels in person. But right now, with the current executive orders, you can't have more than 100 people gather outside. And our run usually had several hundred people. So we're hoping people still sign up for the run, do it virtually. Still, if you complete the 5 runs in the series, and basically it's signing up for the runs, we hope that you're doing the runs and are walking. It doesn't matter, but you'll get that really cool jacket at the end of the series. And then the last run will be in Thanksgiving, and we'll talk about that again at a later date. Other than that, also October 4th is the Taking a Shot at Breast Cancer Walk Run. In fact, this past Sunday, we did the big human ribbon thing that Steve and Emily Gowdy have started, that organization. And they had to limit it this year to invites only because they had to keep the number at 100 or less. So I was happy to be invited and to be there. The ribbon's a little smaller this year, but still it's an important awareness raising event. And then their run in October, which will probably be virtual too.
Yeah.
is another way to support that cause. So, which is a great cause. So those are, I just want to mention lastly that, you know, we have a play every year. This year is Home for the Holidays. It's Christmas themed skits. There's parts for ages 8 and up. We don't know how that's going to work out because, again, it will depend on what's going on with the whole COVID situation. But there is ways that people are doing, like, I get like a live or a virtual, I'm not sure the right way to say it, but, like, there'll be the little skits and it will be, you know, live streaming it out to on social media and things like that. So August 16th from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., there'll be tryouts at the or auditions at the Citadel stage. Regina Spain is coordinating that. She can be reached at 334-6415. You can also have a virtual audition if you would like. And so, again, I don't know exactly how it's all going to play out in the end, but if you're interested and acting's been on your bucket list, give Regina a call. And if you forget that number, you can always call Community Mental Health and say you need the information for auditions, and we are happy to give it to you.
Proud to be an alumni of the CMH Players. A lot of fun and really involves people from all throughout the community in a great way, as you said, for somebody that might have that as a bucket list thing to get up on stage or to perform with others. It's a fun thing to do.
Yeah. So hopefully people will do it, even though, like I said, I'm not sure how it's going to play out this year. But we're going to do something fun.
Well, good. Deb, before we go, I just want to ask you, this has been a time of a lot of trepidation for parents and school officials and students, too, anticipating the start of the school year in just a few weeks. A lot of big decisions being made and a lot of people, you know, really fearful about what the start of the school year is going to be. What advice do you have for people as they approach the unknown of a new school year in this really unusual time?
Well, I guess, you know, the advice is different depending on the age levels and things like that. And I know I just heard, like, with the vote, like, that there was, like, 31, it's almost a complete split, like, 31% of people say they're comfortable with the kids going back, 31% say absolutely no, 31% said some kind of virtual, and or a split. There were all these different options. But I guess it depends on the age level. Like, I have a 7-year-old grandson, and he is really hoping to go to school to see his friends. And I've heard different things about, are they going to require a mask in the elementary level groups, or maybe after second grade? I don't know. But we're going to have, we have a lot of resources available on our website, on our Facebook page. And also, through that funding that we received, I know we've talked about it before, the CCBHC funding, that Certified Community Behavioral Health Clinic, we are going to be providing mental health support staff to some level to every school district in the county. So we'll, you know, the telehealth would be an option if there's kids that are have increased anxiety about the situation, or and parents. I mean, that they wouldn't use the same line for that, but if parents have increased anxiety or things like that, they can still call us at Community Mental Health, and we're happy to help them, give them suggestions on things that they can do, ways to deal with that, ways to help their children. So we have that support's available all the time. But I know, obviously, waiting to see what's going to happen with the school year has been definitely an added stress, because the other thing is a lot of people don't have childcare because of COVID. And so it's just a pretty vicious cycle, and it's incredibly stressful. So we have that, you know, we still have a COVID support line if people want to call and talk. We are happy to do that. And then with the kids, you know, we are talking with, I just talked with Ron Miller yesterday, East China School District, and talked about ways that we can provide support out there. We have a new initiative that will be happening with the Yale School District through that funding that I talked about. So we do have options for kids. Our children's service staff are available. They've got a lot of great ways that they can help provide support and resources at their fingertips. So if anybody's in need, they can call through our access line and say that, you know, they need some help and assistance related to the upcoming school year, stress associated with it, et cetera.
All right. Fantastic. Deb, always appreciate your time. Thanks for being with us. Enjoy the sun.
You too, Paul. Have a great day.